We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast for Week 12, recapping the week. As always, we are brought to you by our exclusive sponsorship partner, WynnBET. It is a big week. The Team of Destiny had an amazing week, both between the Thanksgiving game and then this weekend, where you had two picks to make for your Survivor pool, Chris. This was a pretty darn good week for you.
It was sick. It was just beyond, and I can't even take it anymore. I can't even watch. I'm almost like I need to just set the pick, go to a bar, have a bunch of drinks, find out later. You know, I can't even deal. And just remember this, like Atlanta, Jacksonville, I could barely watch. And, you know, Atlanta was up 21-3. The closest Jacksonville got, well, they didn't even get to the 30-yard line down 21-14 when they went four and out to end the game. And I was having a heart attack. And the thing is, what if they had scored and tried to go for two to win it? You know, what if it had gone overtime? You know, like I was thinking about, I was like, if they go to overtime, I won't be able to deal with it, you know? And so just for some background, you know, so Dalton and I are in the, if you haven't, you know, if you're not aware of this, are in the $6 million Circa Survivor pool. And so heading into last week, you know, so before Thanksgiving, there were 134 people left and we had used Dallas. We kind of had to take and the Bills. So we took the Bears. They barely won in the last second. And that was crazy in itself. But then Dallas lost in the evening and there were suddenly 40 people left in the pool. And now after this weekend where there were no good teams and I chose the Falcons and I stepped up. I don't know if you saw the video, Jeff. I made us take the Falcons. If you know what you know now, watch the pregame video that we made on Saturday night. You're going to be like, oh, my God. Right? So we chose the Falcons of all the teams. There were 2.5. There were 2-point favorites. And they won.
Was this all you? Were you forcing this?
I forced it. I stepped up. And I said, you know what I did? I was so adamant about taking the Falcons that in Dalton's pool, Dalton has his own pool. It's $100 to get in. It's 31 people. And it's Ted Bell and me, the last two. Cousin Steve, rest in peace. Or Uncle Steve, I guess. Dalton's uncle Steve lost, so it's just Ted Bell and me are in the last two. I said, I am so behind this pick that I'm going to take Atlanta over New England that I had available in that pool. I will take Atlanta over New England just to show you, just to have extra skin in the game, and I did. Unfortunately, New England won. Otherwise, I would have took down the whole pool. I would recommend it's 22 minutes, but you know, you'll get to the crux of it within 15 or 10 minutes. I recommend it.
I will.
We didn't agree on the pick, put it that way. I insisted we did Atlanta. He wanted the Niners who actually won, but we can't use the Niners. So that wasn't really even an option.
What do you mean you couldn't use them?
Elaborate. Well, because on Christmas Day, we have to pick a team and that in the Thursday, just like Thanksgiving, it's three games. And we've used up Green Bay, Cleveland, which is one of the games. And we use up the Colts, and they're at Arizona. So we have Arizona still at home against the Colts. And then the other game is Tennessee hosting San Francisco. And I said, we need to have two sides of a game. We don't know who's going to be hurt, what quarterback's going to be there. You need to have both sides of a game so you can have at least a favorite. And you know, and if it's a close to a pick 'em, you could take a dog if it's a 1-point underdog, like Detroit, Chicago. Ted Bell took Detroit, right? Like that you could do that in a 2-point game if you wanted to play pot odds or you just felt it was more likely. But what you can't have is not both sides of the same game when you have to pick three games. And you just say, okay, if we just had Arizona and Tennessee left, what if the Niners are favored in that game? What if Kyler Murray's out and the Colts are favored in that game? I mean, you can't be drawing dead. You can't have it that like all the teams that you have available might lose that game. You have to have a chance to pick a winner. So I said, no matter what, for those standalones, we need to have both sides of every game, of one game, not every game, one game, so that no matter what happens when we get there, we've got minimum 50-50 and probably 60-40 minimum to get through. And So I wouldn't use the Niners or Titans until then. I mean, I would in an absolute emergency, but I wouldn't, you know, I just think it's like you can't do that because you don't want to have three teams left where your equity's worth $2 million and you literally can't win. You can't do that. You can't do that to yourself. So it was really Atlanta or Houston were the two teams that we were thinking of. I mean, we could have taken the Eagles, I guess, but we should have taken the Bengals. Neither of us liked the Bengals. We dismissed the Bengals out of hand. And it turns out that would have been the easy one.
That was a unanimous pick. You know, that was one of the on staff picks. We all were on the Steelers to cover, and I'm sure I think Dalton made him their best bet, his best bet too. But yeah, suffice to say, we were all wrong about that, and I've never been more happy to be wrong.
I mean, they killed them. They killed
me down. Oh my gosh, it was so fun.
I should have almost taken the Bengals because everyone was so adamant. Like, why? It was such a game. Like, it was like it was four and a half initially. It was like, why are the Bengals 4.5-point favorites over the Steelers, their arch rival in a tough division game? Like, why? How is that even? You know, Cleveland stomped the Bengals. Like, why won't this be just like that? Well, Cleveland has a good offensive line for one. But so it was almost like the other way than you would assume. Everyone assumed one thing was the other thing. Anyway, we should use the Bengals. That was the one, but we didn't like it. And then once that was off the table, thank God I did not like the Eagles because the Giants always play them tough. And imagine getting knocked out by your own team. That would have screwed me up.
Yeah, you walked that tightrope once. You didn't want to have to do that again.
No, I mean, whatever. When it was a 10-point favorite, okay. I didn't want to. I let it happen because I agreed. I let Dalton push us on the Chiefs, which was the right call. So anyway, there's 30 people left. You know, it's a $200,000 entry now. And I just can't watch. I can't do it.
You have to watch. It's part of the ethos. You can't watch, Chris.
People want us to live stream it. You know how NFL games go with referees and fumbles and slippery snaps.
I'm here for the profanity. I'm here for the angst. I'm here for all of that.
It's not profanity. Gotta be there. It's not profanity and angst at this point. It's so beyond that. I'm like making Sasha sit on the couch because Sasha's been good luck a bunch of times. Like she came in right before the miraculous Tucker field goal and Lamar Jackson conversion. She's been there like for all the key times. So I'm like, no, Sasha, come. You got to get back in. Get back in now. It's important. You know, I'm like, I've gone crazy. It's too much money. As I told Dalton, we typically bet 120 grand a game, never 150, 200 a game. So this is really, stretching the limits of what I can tolerate. And I wish I could say it was fun. It was actually fun until it got not fun. Until it got not fun. It's not fun anymore. It's too much, man. I can't deal with it.
Well, you had a lot of character building on Thursday with the Lions and Bears too.
Dude, that game, but I was drunk because Thanksgiving and I was at a friend's house in the countryside and it was just so epic. That drive, they used up the whole clock. They shut it down to 1 second, not 3 seconds. They took it down to 1 second.
One bad snap, it's all over.
Fumble, interception, anything, a sack at the wrong time. They just didn't mess up on the drive that took out the entire clock. The Lions, they're down 13-7. There's a 53-yard field goal from Cairo Santos. They make it 16-9. It's over. It's done. If they get a 2-score lead in the second half, no, he misses it. And of course,
and he was woefully short too. I mean, it was amazing how bad Cairo Santos was. I was joking, like, okay, they're inside the 20. There might be in Cairo Santos's range finally here. I mean,
nothing was a funny joke. Dalton, you got to see this video, dude, that we released on Saturday. I will. Dalton was talking about how he's killed for less than Aikman congratulating Matt Nagy on the win before the kick happened.
Oh, no.
And it is. And then even Atlanta, I'm telling you, like Atlanta was up 21-3. Jacksonville gets an 8-point touchdown. So it's 21-11. Then they drive all the way down, holding penalty. Thank God, backs them up. It's 21-14. Then Atlanta can't run out the clock. They punt. Jacksonville gets the ball back with like 2 minutes left. Like, you know, but even though they didn't even make it past the 30-yard line. And I was already like in a pot, you know, just in a heap of collapse in a heap. Like, it is getting to be too much, this 200K. And it was also worse because I was the one who just stepped up. I was like, I'll be the bad guy. We're doing this. Yeah. And it just came to me. Like, I was thinking about it. I was meditating on it. I was like, Atlanta's the right pick. And I told that, you can watch the video, but I said, right when I was watching the Raiders game, one of the announcers, right when I thought Atlanta was the right play, one of them said, something Atlanta, right when he just said Atlanta, the word, right when I said, and I was like, that's it. It's done. So you can see our process is very serious.
All right. Very good. Let me ask you this. Gets down to the last three, and somehow, you might not even be allowed to do it, but somehow, some way, you try to broker a deal where each of you get $2 million. Would you take it?
Yes. But real man doesn't. There's no reason to. It's Team of Destiny. Why would I split when I have the whole thing? But, yeah, I don't think we can do that. I mean, I'm sure if we knew the people and we got our lawyers together and we drew up some sort of contract, you could make it. You could probably do it, right? Right. One thing that would be fun, you know, if, say, you know, there were 10 people left, so 600K each, right? I was like, well, what if we each just got 200K and we played for $4 million, right? Like, okay, so we get 100,000 each, Dalton and I, and then it just becomes more fun at that point. You know, it's like,
right.
You know, so, but I don't, you know, all this stuff's going to involve lawyers because I don't think legally with the gaming board in the terms of the contest that I don't think we can split it. So like,
right.
You know, you're not going to just be like, all right, man, if I win it, I'll send you your $1 million. Like, no problem. Just give me your PayPal. You know, it's not going to work. You need contracts, right, for stuff like, you know, when you're talking about this kind of thing. So I don't know that that's even a thing. And people are like, oh, dude, just hedge. Oh, really? You know someone who put $1 million on the underdog or on the underdog gets the spread like in cash? How am I going to get that money to Vegas? Like, yeah, you know, I just put $1 million down. You know, I'll just, you know, how much is in your DraftKings account? You know, let's put a mil on the money line or whatever. I mean,
right.
I suppose theoretically we could do it. It's just like, you know, this doesn't happen in 5 minutes. Now, you know, with Bitcoin or something, you could do something this quickly, but holy shit, man. You know, just even that, I mean, it would be, well, the sickest thing to do is, let's say, you know, we had like the Monday night game the last week and the guy before us lost. So we, you know, we at least tie, and if we win, we got the whole thing. And we just like put like $1 million to cover the spread, you know, and that way we could middle it, you know, where the underdog covers but loses and we win the pool and we get the extra. Anyway,
right.
It's never wrong to be greedy, Jeff. It's never wrong to try to get more than the $6 million. But the point is, like, we can hedge for like $3,000 pretty easily or something like that if we wanted to. I mean, maybe, you know, we won $5,000. But, I mean, is that really going to take the sting out of it? I don't know, you know.
Yeah, that's right. It's just fascinating to think of all the permutations, all the possibilities there. And, you know, that's why everybody else is jumping on board the Team of Destiny bandwagon, too. I mean, it's really interesting to see all that and see how close you can get to life-changing money and
well,
to do that.
Just to be clear, it's not life-changing money for me. It's for Dalton it is because he doesn't have any money. $6 million for me, you know, it's a nice vacation, basically, is what it is.
Yeah, well,
for
okay. You can rent a private island for a week. You know, that there's something to be said.
Or
that.
Yeah, maybe more than a week. But it's sick. It's been awesome, dude. I love the people on Twitter. There's people like, dude, I gamble, play DFS every week. I don't even care about that. This is the only thing I root for. Other people are like, I'm explaining this to my family Thanksgiving. They don't care about sports. They don't understand why I care about this. Like, all these people, my wife is into this. She doesn't care about sports now. You know, they're saying, you know, it is just like, it's just one of the best. It's just really fun.
And meanwhile, there's other people looking at those people like as if they're growing a second head or something like that. You know,
I love it. Well, yeah. Also, there's also people giving me suggestions like, don't go Atlanta, go Carolina, go this, go that. And I'm like, you know, that's fine. I don't
are
mind.
Are you the Team of Destiny?
No, yeah, exactly. Like, you're really giving the Team of Destiny advice? Exactly. So, yeah. You know, you walk in on the surgery that's happening. Be like, no, don't cut that vessel. Cut that one. No, do this. Do it that way. You got to understand what's going on, guys. This is, exactly. I told Dalton in the video, and I recommend it. it's not, you're talking probability, I'm talking prophecy. You know, that's the difference between the two of us.
Right. All right. Before we move on to the rest of the NFL, quick note from our friends at WinBet. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision.
Yeah, we do.
Like picking Atlanta, for instance. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WinBet brings you the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette. Double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in six states. Seven states. Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WYNNBET. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. Okay, pretty soon, someday, this podcast will be brought to you by the Team of Destiny. Until then, though, it is brought to you by WinBet. We thank them for that. Let's talk about some of the other things that happened this week. It was a big week. We talked a little on about the Bengals and the Steelers. You know, the Bengals just ran it down the Steelers' throats. That's the thing that was blowing me away. It was how easily they were running the ball. They made an emphasis on running the ball last week against the Raiders, and that worked. And I guess it could have worked even more if the quality of the playing surface was better. But this week, oh my goodness, I have never seen a Steelers team get like just run down their throat like that before. In fact, I think it set records for like the amount of rushing yards they gave up in the first half. I didn't recognize this Steelers team. This, at least last week, they fought back. This week, there was no fighting in them at all.
Yeah, right. They came back against the Chargers, almost won that game. And I like Tomlin. I think he's a good coach, but I'm sick of that Steelers team. They're boring. Roethlisberger's not good. The line is horrible. I don't want to see them in the playoffs. They don't really have any upside. They need to kind of start over. And so even though I thought the Steelers would show up at least against the Bengals, They always do.
I think Tomlin's a fantastic coach and usually is a great motivator. I think some of his decision-making skills need to be questioned. For instance, and this happened in the second quarter yesterday, they're already down 24-3. They have like a fourth and three on their own 35, fourth and one on their own 35. Excuse me. Let me get it right. And they punted away. And I get it. It's on their own 35. You don't make it. Well, it's over. Well, guess what? It was over anyhow.
No, that's really bad. I mean, the problem, it's really weird how coaches and even just people watching, they don't understand. They think like the fourth quarter is when it's time to take chances, you know? And I sometimes am like, oh, you're down 20. It's midway through the third quarter. That is late if you're down 20.
Yeah.
In the first half, if you're down 24 or 21, there's not that many possessions in a single game. You know, it's like you can't give them away. It's a finite number of them. I think, you know, that as soon as if you're down 21, your chances of winning a game are so slim that it's time to act desperate now. You know, don't wait till the second half. Don't wait till the fourth quarter. I see teams sometimes down 20 and they're driving and they're using the whole play clock. And you're like, you're using the whole play clock, dude. I know it's not the fourth quarter, but time is something that
a little urgency would be nice here.
Yeah. I mean, you want to score with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, not 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It's a big difference when you're still down two touchdowns.
Yeah, that's right. And it wasn't the only one I saw like that, but it's funny because the Bengals drove, then they got picked after they had a play that was called back after a kind of a questionable offensive holding or offensive pass interference on the other side of the play. Next play, Burrow gets picked. I'm like, oh, what a huge sequence. Then the very next play, Ben throws the pick six. And now it's 31-3. Well, now it's really, really over. But that wasn't, you know, there. I saw Sean McVay, who's, you know, supposed to be dealer guy.
No.
He ordered up two punts in the fourth quarter, down 11. One of them, fourth and three, which you just.
How about at the end of the game? This is like the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. I even wrote about this. I don't even write about this stuff anymore that much.
Yeah.
They there was like a minute left, maybe just under, and they're in field goal range. and it's like third and whatever.
Yeah, the run play.
And it calls a run play. And so, dude, if they just thrown it into the ground, spiked it to stop the clock, they could have calmly got their field goal unit on, kicked the field goal with a minute left, kicked an onside kick. If they get it, they can actually drive for a touchdown. It took so long while the clock was running to get the field goal unit on fourth down where they couldn't spike it or anything that by the time they kicked it, there was like 16 seconds left. And so even if they had gotten the onside kick, it would have been Hail Mary time. And that was just like so 101, dude. Like you just
And they had this bizarre focus. Okay, let's get a first down. What? That's not the goal here. The goal here is to score and score quickly. Either you're that far down, you emphasize getting a touchdown, or you take you like you said, stop the clock, kick the field goal, give yourself some time. Either way would have either method would have been way better. And they did the absolute worst thing you could have done there, short of like fumbling the ball. You know, that was the only thing that could have gone worse is if they fumbled it. But it was bizarre. I mean, it was almost like you had a college mentality. Okay, we get the first down, the clock stops or something. There was no running the ball to get a first down there meant nothing, just nothing at all. And you know, then two punts he ordered up in the fourth quarter ahead of that. You know, okay, I get it when it's fourth and 11, but you're down two scores against a team that has like 35 points against you. You're going to trust the defense? No, you can't trust the defense. You got to score. You had to have some urgency here. Unbelievable. I mean, there was a report circulating right before the games yesterday that Stafford's banged up and he's really hurting and all that. And I think there might be something to that. Maybe it's in that light. They're kind of like, okay, we're going to play it out. But then just put in the backup if that's the case.
Right. Either if your guy can play, your guy's got to play. Right. Rodgers might have to have surgery on his toe. But, you know, it's crazy. I don't know. I don't think he's going to have surgery because this is like the Super Bowl team. I don't know how long he'd be out if he had surgery on his toe.
Right. This is his last go. Yeah.
And this is like a Super Bowl. I mean, the Packers might be the best team in the NFL right now. And so it's kind of crazy. I mean, they've lost three games. One of them was the opening week. One of them was the Jordan Love game. And then the other one was like a coin flip against the Vikings. Like this team is probably the best team in the NFL right now. And, you know, I don't know how long he'd be out if he had surgery on the toe, but it's kind of like, that's the guy that like, you know, that's actually hurting. That's the guy that actually might have to be, you know, miss time, could be this week. So that's a huge story also.
It is. It really is. And it could be, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. I think he still will win the MVP, by the way. I think he'll overcome that. I don't know. We'll see. If the Packers do end up being the top seed and all that, then I think he might. Now, if Arizona ends up being the top seed, we'll see. It might be different.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to give it to him. I think they're going to be too pissed about immunization gate. I don't think they're going to give it to him. But I think he's the best player in the NFL right now. I mean,
these are the same football writers that kept Terrell Owens out in next year because they didn't like him.
They didn't like Terrell. It's all about, you know, the personal thing is huge. And the thing is, like, I mean, I think he's the best player in the NFL. Like, if I have one quarterback right now, it's him. I mean, I think he is the whole package. You know, Brady's good, but Brady's old. I mean, Brady... he's very decisive. He makes, you know, good. He knows what he's doing, but like Rodgers is the guy with the touch, the arm, some mobility still. I mean, I think he's better. And Mahomes, you know, is the wizard, but like that offense has been out of sync. He hasn't been playing that well this year. If I'm taking one player right now, it's probably Rodgers. And I'm trying to think who else could win the MVP. Like, I think Josh Allen would be a bad choice right now. I just think like he's played well, but he's not playing MVP football.
They have two games against the Pats. We'll find out after that. Yeah. I mean, I just don't think we need to weigh in on it. We'll wait until after those two games.
They just haven't distinguished themselves like that.
Yeah. I mean, Jonathan Taylor has a case, but, you know, you can't take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand 26 plays in a row, whereas the Colts could do that with Taylor because they're idiots. But
yeah, they can do that. And I mean, and it's true, like, the Colts are 6-6. Like, if you're going to be an MVP running back, you got to make the playoffs, but it's better if you're like 14-2, you know, then you're like, okay, I'm the dominant running back on the 14-2 team. I'm MVP. But if you're like, you know, 9-8 or 10-7, and you squeak in the playoffs on the seventh seed, it's kind of hard to get you the MVP if you're a running back.
Right. And it also happens to be like the second chair running back MVP behind Derrick Henry, you know, and then Henry gets hurt. So, okay, now Taylor, you're up and you're the next guy. And Taylor's amazing. Don't get me wrong, but Derrick Henry was here and Taylor was there. And then everybody else is down here. You know, it's funny how that, and it doesn't have that, you know, that I am, my shadow looms over the entire league sort of thing that Henry has, or that McCaffrey had in his peak year. And if you can't, and those guys, I mean, it's hard for a running back to be an MVP. It really is, especially in today's NFL.
No, I think Taylor could, if the Colts, you know, were where the Titans are, if they flip-flop, like if they say the Colts had swept the Titans in those games and instead of the other way around, I think Taylor would have a good shot. I think that there's just no quarterback playing that well. If you look at Rodgers last year, 48 touchdowns, 5 picks. I mean, it was a ridiculous year in 16 games. And you look at Lamar Jackson the year before and Patrick Mahomes the year before. These guys were just absolutely destroying the league. There is nobody even remotely close to those three seasons this year. There's nobody even close. Nobody's having that year. And so in a case like that, if there was a dominant running back who was carrying his team, which Taylor is the guy, but the team is 6-6. That you can't. So it will be a quarterback, I think. I don't. And even the Rams are, 7-4 now? I mean, Cooper Kupp was the guy that I thought like might be able to like have such a ridiculous year, but they're just going to choose like one of the quarterbacks. I'm not, you know, right now probably be Brady. I would say would probably win it if they ended it now.
Yeah. It won't be Justin Herbert. Unfortunately. I mean,
no,
he actually made some mistakes yesterday, but it was still the Chargers charging. I mean, they're committing these penalties that just kill drives. They had a questionable OPI on Mike Williams one play. They missed a field goal down 14-10, which meant that they went for it on fourth down the next time and didn't make it because, they made it a couple times and then still got stymied. You know, it was just one of those things where everything just mushroomed. And then, of course, there was the pick six that ended that game, basically. But still, the three afternoon games were all really fun to watch. You know, all sorts of stuff going on in each of those games. But the Chargers, they can't get out of their own way, and they have half an offensive line. The other half can't protect Herbert at all, and it's frustrating to watch because we all, you know, hey, unless you're a Broncos fan, obviously. I actually had a pretty good feel about the Broncos going into this one. Their defense is still a pain in the butt.
Yeah, Broncos are good, and their offense isn't that bad, although Teddy Bridgewater did nothing. But you can run on the Chargers. And so the Broncos are a good run team. You know, Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, you can just kind of smash them. And so if you have a team that you can run on, I think the running game has so been overlooked in this like analytics era. If you have a team that can't run and can't stop the run, that team's just going to be in trouble all the time. They're going to be in bad down distances all the time. They're easy to plan for. You can rush them. You don't have to really respect the run at all. I think like a team like the Chargers are just – they're just never going to get there, especially if you start to get to December, late November. They're just never going to get there with that kind of setup. Like you can't run or stop the run. Forget it. You know, yeah. I think you're pretty much, you know, just dead.
Well, the two AFC North games yesterday, the Bengals were able to run and run and run. The Steelers couldn't get out of their own way, but the Ravens don't have a running game right now unless it involves Lamar. That's the thing. Every once in a while, Freeman breaks off some decent ones. Late in that game, they got some runs, and that was huge. But their offense is not the same right now. I mean, I don't think it's just a running back issue. I think Freeman's okay. I don't think their offensive line is what it used to be either, though. I just don't think that they can run right now. And that's why I think they get backed up. Now, keep in mind, too, I mean, Lamar, I don't know what version of him. You know, there's Stefania Bell had a pretty good thing on the ESPN pregame show yesterday talking about players coming back from like missing a game with an illness, like there's like a huge drop in their next game back. And it kind of came through here. Lamar was terrible. Mayfield was terrible in this game. It was an atrocity of a Sunday night game.
Mayfield's always terrible. Thing about Lamar is, and Stefania mentioned this on our show, was that he's had like, he had COVID twice. Okay. You can get it twice. I think I had it twice. Okay. He recovered. But he seems to have some other non-COVID illness that's been lingering. And she was saying, like, what's going on with his immune system? Because this guy's, you know, 25, 26 years old. This is not somebody, this is somebody who should be crushing these viruses. Like, it's not even a big deal. And yet he's been sick a lot, like to the point where he had to miss a game. I mean, you know, who misses a game with, if you had a bad flu, you couldn't play. But usually you play through, you know, Michael Jordan's flu game or whatever that he had. I mean, most of these athletes will play through an illness. And so, you know, a lot of people are saying, and Lamar said in the press conference, said my throws were short, all his interceptions, they were weak. He didn't have enough zip on them. Yeah, and he might be a little weak, and it is something to get to the bottom of, because if he's not himself, the Ravens are done. And I do think the running game does hurt them. The fact that J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, both those guys are beasts. I mean, Dobbins not a beast; he's more of a skill guy. Edwards is a beast. That really made the Ravens tough to stop. But now that you don't have that, you just blitz. You know, and you just hammer Lamar, and once in a while he'll bust a run, but
or the crazy touchdown throw to Andrews where he was dodging Garrett and Curse and all that, and that was crazy. I mean, and seeing I don't know. You probably watched the short version. I don't know if they showed like Curse like throwing his helmet after that play. He was so ticked off. And Miles Garrett's just like shaking his hand, like, man, what a play. But you know, it was crazy. Like, you know, that's what it took for them to score, though.
Right. It was just like a chuck that Andrews made a diving grab on. But right. You know, so we'll see. That's a huge story. But the Ravens are not the same without that power running game, without, you know, the Ingram or Peak Ingram or the J.K. Dobbins type. This team doesn't have, they're the one seed of the AFC right now, but I don't see them going anywhere. I don't see them beating. They could lose to anybody. And they could, you know, win a game because there's no one that good, but I don't see them running their way through it. All I see is the Patriots and Chiefs right now. That's it. Those are the only two teams I see as like real contenders.
Bengals, come on, Bengals.
We'll see. Maybe. At least they haven't established themselves as not being a contender. You know what I mean? I think like maybe if the defense is, you know, plays stout, then, you know, they could be. But
we were talking this way about the Titans 2 weeks ago. Shit can happen.
They lost A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Derrick Henry. I mean, that's
right. That's what I'm saying. Things can happen like that. Yeah. What happens if the Bengals lose Joe Burrow? Boom, done. You know,
anybody losing the QB. But I'm saying, like, you know, as constituted now, like, to me, it's like Chiefs and Pats. That's the showdown that's looming. I don't take the Ravens seriously. I think they're too soft.
Yeah, you might be right about that. We'll see. Which is weird to say about a Ravens team. You just never.
They don't. They're not. They're a finesse team. They're not a. They do stop the run though. They are physical up front. They're just bad against the pass, which is not good to be. It's not a good. That's not a good weakness to have either.
Yeah. We owe you a couple of notes here. Let's go ahead and whip that out real quick. The NFL season is heating up, and Yahoo is going big on daily fantasy football this season. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the year on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark free. To celebrate Yahoo going big on DFS, as well as Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in site credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 site credit to offer to join any paid contest, including Yahoo's biggest contest, the weekly $1 million DFS NFL Baller Contest. The weekly $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place, receiving $100,000 and tons of overlay in prizes. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started. While we're here, we're going to mention our friends at Thrive as well. Thrive is back for another season of fantasy football, and they're running huge guaranteed contests each week this NFL season. With Thrive Fantasy, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game, like Cordarrelle Patterson. Sign up today and get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. Here's how you claim your free RotoWire subscription. 1. Visit rotowire.com/thrive. 2. Deposit a minimum of $10 and receive a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. 3. Play in your first paid contest and receive a free 6-month RotoWire subscription.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, We all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Big thanks to Yahoo. Big thanks to Thrive. And also big thanks to the Blue Wire Network. For hosting our podcast all season long. We'll take care of our advertising business for today's podcast. All right, let's break down the rest of this slate. Dalvin Cook got hurt. Got to watch that one there. That San Francisco Vikings game was fun. A lot of stuff going on in that game, but losing Cook like that, that really sucks. The interesting thing to me is I know Madison's the guy you got to pick up. But the kid that returned the kickoff return for a touchdown, his second of the year, actually got a couple carries in this game. And I got to look at it because pronunciation is going to be an issue here for me. But by the middle of the week, I'll have it. But for now, it's something to watch for a little bit. But Kane Wongwu, I think it's Wongwu is how you pronounce it. I think the N is silent. But this is two touchdown returns he's had. And now he had a rush for 7 yards. If you're looking for a little tiny little upside, I think he might be someone you get because Madison's rostered everywhere, right? But you're trying to find the next guy. If Cook's got a serious injury, they're going to need a second guy.
And it's one injury to Madison away from being the first guy. And I think, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, thanks to, you know, Lamar Jackson, like other guys are getting a chance to play quarterback with this style. How about thanks to Cordarrelle Patterson? Get a kick returner in there. Get the guy the ball. You know,
right.
I mean, how many years did Cordarrelle Patterson toil? And I always thought this guy is 6'3", 240, runs a 4.3. And every time he has the ball in his hands as a kick returner, it's like he's electrifying. And what, you can't get the guy the ball? Sometimes they hand it off like once a year and he gets a 50-yard touchdown run. And, you know, it's like.
And it's Atlanta that frees him up.
Well, Arthur Smith, you know, he might have something, you know, I mean, he's the guy who freed Henry too. You know, I mean, he's the guy who got, they were having Henry behind Deion Lewis, you know, in Tennessee. They didn't know what they had. So, you know, maybe one of these, I mean, if a guy can run a kickoff like that for a touchdown twice, I want the ball in his hands. I don't see why it's so complicated to say this guy can have the whole defense chasing him and he can break through and get a touchdown, why that's not something desirable in your offense. And I understand why like the Devin Hesters and those guys didn't really work out very well. They're just so small. But you know, these guys aren't, you know, Nwagwu, whatever his name is, you know, 6'2", 210. That's not that stout for a running back, but he's not some, you know, 180 pound guy that you're trying to, you know, get the ball in his hands all the time. He could handle some carries.
So Atlanta looked terrible the last 2 weeks too. And I know you broke this all down when you're making your selection, but I think it's pretty funny that they came back and did this, that they found a way to unlock Patterson. I think Smith's actually a good coach. I think he's got some horrible parts. I mean, I think they've got an aging Matt Ryan. They don't have a successor in line. And they're actually kind of playing themselves out of drafting that at least an obvious one, if there is an obvious one in this year.
Yeah, I don't think there is one this year. At least I'm told. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, look,
but they're 5-6 with this roster.
Dude, they're Cordarrelle MV Patterson, dude. Cordarrelle MV Patterson. That dude, I mean, I love that dude. You know, it's like Justin Tucker's a hero to me for the rest of my life after what he did. He always what he was. Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, there's people who stepped up for the team of destiny. You know, destiny doesn't happen by accident. Andy Dalton, what an incredible drive to get that executed. I mean, Andy Dalton, a great player. You know, a great.
He had over 300 yards passing on Thanksgiving. It didn't seem like it, but
stepped
he did.
Up big. Whoever the offensive linemen were that were getting all those false starts, you know, I really appreciate it. The offensive lineman that did the Yo Mama joke to Jadavion about Jadavion Clowney's mother who got the 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, that's the hero we didn't think we needed. Yes.
There's a litany of heroes and you know, and the latest one, you know, was Patterson. I mean, what a monster. He just stepped up, made those big runs. I mean, they probably don't win that game, or they certainly don't win it as easily without him. So I always love that guy. That guy's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame returner. And finally, 10 years into his career, they're like, oh, maybe we can give him the ball too. And it's not Kyle Pitts. They're like, get the physical freak, the all-time physical freak, the ball. Well, they did. Cordarrelle Patterson, not Kyle Pitts. By the way, Kyle Pitts did nothing. He caught one first down that was kind of key. That has just been a weird thing that they can't just get him the ball. I mean,
but like, think about it. It's obvious. So look at that receiving core. It's terrible. I mean,
so what? Look at Davante Adams. They get him the ball all the time. You know,
yeah,
it's
you
like,
have an all-time quarterback, all-time great quarterback.
Well, Matt Ryan is an experienced quarterback who's won an MVP. You think he could get the ball to a guy that could run a route, move him around in motion? I mean, there's a lot of teams with a number one that is like so far away the number one, and whether or not like it's efficient, you know, that's another story.
But also, Adams is an elite route runner. Let's maybe give Pitts more than a half a season in the NFL before we're kind of holding
him. I get it. But just get him the ball. I mean, just, you know, it shouldn't be hard to get him, you know, 11 targets a game and, you know, six catches a game. I mean, it just shouldn't be impossible to do that. And yet it's like he's not even on the field. I mean, and
ever since Ridley went away, I mean, it's been very tough.
But it's also like, oh, well, he's got to run routes. Why? He's 6'5", 250, and he runs a 4.4. Like, what kind of route does he really have to run? Just throw the goddamn ball to him. It doesn't matter if someone's covering him. It's like, at what point are you like, oh, he has to be, he's not Deshaun Jackson. He doesn't have to be wide open to get the ball. He just needs to be, you know, just lead him, throw it, you know, let him make plays. You know, they're not even giving him a chance to make a play.
Right. And I wonder if is that a failure of him to get open, or is it a failure of the play calling?
It might be Matt, you know, remember Julio never scored touchdowns for the Falcons, you know, consistently.
Right. Right.
And maybe Matt Ryan just doesn't like to throw into traffic. He just doesn't, because maybe that, you know, it was easy to stay with Julio on a short field in the red zone more. And he just didn't want to make that throw where it was like, I know he's covered, but I'm going to throw it anyway. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Week 5, he went 9 for 119 and 1. Week 7 after the bye, 7 for 163. We're like, yeah, this is the generational prospect.
Right.
And all that. And then after that, 2 for 13, 362, 460, 329, 226. Ugh, come on. I don't understand the mystery of them. I think Arthur Smith is a good coach. I think getting 5 wins out of this crew is pretty amazing. I think that they were
just one win. There's just one win that matters, Jeff. I mean,
but that's wrong.
So this team was outscored 76-3 over the last 2 games.
I know.
Took them on the road. I know. We took them on the road. Okay. So
I know.
It's just, you know,
and you use the Bears on Thanksgiving. I mean, and they're objectively bad. They're talking about getting their coach fired before the game.
I love it.
You use them.
The thing is, you know, the beauty of Survivor is once you use a team, of course, you never use them again. And you're like, thank God I don't have to use that team again. It's just a great thing. It's like,
I feel that way about Baltimore, by the way. I feel like I've used them up everywhere. I actually, in one second chance pool I'm still alive in, I used them this week. And just, I was like, oh, please just get by. Just please get by. Oh, God, thank God. But now I got to think about the next week. You know the team that, and you mentioned in your article, but the team that's like the Patriots is the Dolphins. That I'm starting to get more and more confident with them every week. And they're not pretty. They're not like... They're not an aesthetically pleasing team to watch, but their defense is just beating the crap out of teams. They just pounded Cam into submission. And Cam was bad, but he they couldn't protect him at all. He was just getting bludgeoned
never join a team and go full Darnold. You know, he just decided to go full Darnold. I was like, oh wait, it's Darnold. He's back. They've gotten Darnold back. It's Cam Newton Darnold.
So maybe the problem was the offensive line all along. I mean, Darnold's still bad, but.
I think it obviously has gotten worse. But, the Dolphins are mini Patriots. You know, they play better as the year goes on every year. Maybe Brian Flores is, you know, he and Vrabel, you know, the Belichick coaching tree was always a joke. It was like Romeo Crennel and who are the other? What was the guy? Mangini, the genius. There's a bunch. I mean, Joe Judge, you know, there was a bunch of like real duds, but there was more than that. There was Charlie Weiss, right? Wasn't he like part of the
Belichick? Yeah.
There's a bunch of duds in there. Oh, what's his name? Bill O'Brien was Belichick, right? So there's a bunch of duds, and it was like, what's wrong with the Belichick tree? But all of a sudden, you have Vrabel and Flores, and you're like, oh, okay, this is bearing some actual fruit. And Flores, every year the team seems to get better. And this team was dead. They were like 1-7. They're 5-7. You know, you don't want to play the Dolphins now.
No.
So,
well, the funny thing, I made Dolphins my best bet in staff picks. And I actually was pretty comfortably on the Pats, even though I saw other people like that spread's too big and all that.
No.
Honestly, that game changed on one play, the Hilliard fumble. Me broke off that huge run.
Right. They were down six. Yeah, I know. And I needed the Patriots to lose in Survivor too.
Right. That was a huge play. And also keep in mind this after Bullock had missed an extra point and missed a field goal, this game should have been 19-17 at that point.
Right.
And then it kind of got away from him late. But Tennessee, I mean, Vrabel may make some questionable down and distance decisions, but he's a good coach.
He's a really good coach. No,
getting them to play hard on the road in that situation like that without anybody as far as like players that could scare you, that's pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, no, Vrabel and Flores are like the two that actually seem good. And, you know, who knows why it took this long, but those guys, you know, they both, you know, Vrabel has that like – totally fearless. As you said, they'll play anywhere. They show up. And Flores has that sort of like improves the year goes on, figure out what you're doing wrong. I mean, part of it, they lost his quarterback for a couple of weeks. Part of it, they lost their best cover guys. But the defense is starting to play well. And the Dolphins and Patriots are like almost automatic. Like every week, just take them until the line gets out of hand because it's just a gimme. This week, well, you'll see on Guess the Lines tomorrow what the line is. It's Giants Dolphins tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. I haven't even looked at, you know, be honest, I haven't even looked at the matchups. I know the Bengals host the Chargers and
I looked at the matchups. I'm already plotting out like,
of course you are. Of course you did. Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to, because you have to think about the future a little bit now. It's going to be fun to see that there. Any other notes you want to talk about before we sign off for today?
No, that's good. I'm happy to be alive in real life. I'm happy to be alive in Survivor. And hopefully those two things are still the same, next week when we do this podcast.
Let me throw one more game out there. We haven't even talked about your Giants hardly and how they shut down Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, the Eagles have a problem with Hurts. They're begging him not to throw the ball now.
Yeah. Miles Sanders got hurt and he was running well. Yeah. I mean, they just kept throwing picks, you know, and the Giants defense is pretty good, but it's not like, you know, world beater. And I don't really know what his problem is. I mean, he's obviously a good running quarterback. But they need to design something that's a little better. It's like Ertz has been great after he left Philly. Goddard hasn't done much. They have Devonta Smith. That's it, right? Devonta Smith and
Dallas Goddard.
I think Goddard doesn't play. He doesn't do much, though. I mean, they barely get him the ball. So it's like they just haven't established enough of a passing attack. Like they were throwing all the time early in the year, and then they had success running it. And now, you know, it's like they can't even figure out who to throw to. Like Jalen Reagor's a non-factor.
Oh my God. Those two drops. Oh, poor Reagor. I mean, and poor Philly, but either one of those drops.
Six people went out on that in my pool. So that was great. The Giants did me a real solid. Goddard. Let me look at what Goddard did. Goddard had one catch for 0 yards yesterday.
So is that good? No.
Yeah.
And they didn't target Smith once on that last drive either. And I don't know, are like teams completely shifting coverage to him now? It might be because like why else throw to Reagor after the first drop? He was wide open right at the goal line. Even if he doesn't get in the end zone, it's still right at the doorstep there. They can score after that. They get the first down and all that. Oh, just what a mind-blowing way to end.
It seemed very herky-jerky. There's no like rhythm consistency to the offense. You have to When you see good drives, when a team makes a nice drive where there's a 6 yard run and then an out for 12 and then a jet sweep for 7, you know, you see teams drive and there's a rhythm and the defense is off balance. I just never see that with the Eagles. It's like Hurts running around. Maybe he'll scramble. then they'll take a sack. It's like, so there's just not that smoothness to their drives. And, you know, it's hard to win on just a, you know, fire drill all the time.
It is. It really is. The Pats have themselves a good kicker, Nick Folk. I think that's been under the radar how good
he's
been.
What a beast. What a beast. I have him in one league. It's like I almost dropped him, and thank God I didn't. I mean, every week, the guy's like, I think he's probably the number one kicker this year.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, it's the perfect setup. They're a good team, but they don't always finish drives well. So he gets a lot of chances. I mean, there was the Cleveland game and he only had one field goal, but that's because they were scoring so many touchdowns in that one, had six extra points. But you look at it, like six attempts yesterday, four against Atlanta, four against the Chargers a few weeks ago. And he's making almost all of them. Missed like a 52-yarder yesterday, but okay, whatever. You'll take that any day. But pretty awesome run by him. And when you get a difference maker there, it's really nice. It's such a huge thing. But, you know, they actually still have a bye coming up in week 14. So you might have to you'll have to replace them maybe in time for your fantasy playoffs, too. Something to watch for there, depending on like what league, what format you use.
I won't drop him. I'm going to use, you know, but it's playoff time. It's easier to drop backups and stuff.
Right.
It's the FSGA league. I have the most points. I'm going to be 8-4, but there's guys ahead of me record wise. But it's just a team that's just loaded. It's a 14 team league. And I didn't even have my first two picks were Zeke and CEH in that league, which aren't that good, but I got like McLaurin and Debo and, you know, and Josh Allen. It's a good team. So that's a fun team. And Nick Folk has been carrying me.
Nice. Very nice. All right. That's going to wrap it up for today. I want to thank WynnBET for their sponsorship. Thank you guys for listening. We got Jake and Joe coming up tomorrow with Waiver Wire Tuesday. And of course, we'll talk a lot more about the team of destiny. Can't wait to find out what Chris is going to do in week 13. So tune in all week long. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.